Just one. Good on you, Warren. 115 13 13 32 to chat to us. So if you want to send an email, love to get them to tue.com.au at 1:15. Well, sadly for the sellers, there's plenty of properties just sitting on the market at the moment. Some, of course, are just not selling. And often it's not price only that affects that sale, but it could be things that are missing in the home. So, for example, no internal laundry in the place. If it's a unit, no parking, that's a biggie. If it's in a city. Well, it's a new book by Patrick Bright. Advises people to be careful, and it's something we've been warning the listeners about on the weekend for some time now, not to overcapitalise on a property. The new book is called The Insider's Guide to Renovating for Profit. Patrick gives you some great advice on when to make additions to the property and when absolutely not to, and happy to say that he joins me on the phone. G'day, mate.
Hi, Jen.
How are you? Great book.
Yeah, thank you.
Look, you say apart from location, which we know is very important, also important is the floor plan.
It is. I think it's an overlooked thing. It's become more important, I guess, as the years roll on. People become more aware, but the floor plan is quite critical. And not only you can have a floor plan that doesn't work now, but you want one that you can actually improve and make work for you. A lot of floor plans are just unfixable or too expensive to fix, which will lead to overcapitalisation.
Yeah. Why is it so important, the floor plan?
Oh, well, the way we interact now, our living spaces, in the old days you had a lot of small rooms. You had a separate dining room and a separate lounge room. These days that's all combined, kitchen, lounge, dining. So three separate spaces now. Generally people like to have them connected.
Yeah, that's right. And look, if you're selling a place and people walk into it and, you know, they see all of that wrong, they go, oh, can't live here, don't they?
They find it hard, yeah. A lot of people don't have the ability to look in visual pictures and see a place finished, so that it's very hard for most people to do that, to visualise with the walls out and what this potential property could look like.
Yeah, and when you are looking at a property, I'm sure you think to yourself, oh, well, I can renovate that, or I could add something there, but then you could well be getting into the realm of overcapitalising, couldn't you?
Yeah, it certainly happens. I mean, we help people, you know, with what I do as a buyer's agent, help people, which is where the information from the book was come from
yeah,
the experiences and the years of doing it. And we have people come to us that say, look, I bought this place, I want to move. And I say, well, how long have you been where you are? And they said, I've been there 18 months. I said, what do you want to move for? And they're like, well, we got a quote to do the renovations. And we realise that it's going to end up, you know, overcapitalising significantly. You know, it's going to cost us, you know, so many hundred thousand dollars to renovate this. The home is going to be well over. It'll be the most expensive home in the street by a couple of hundred grand. So they realise,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's cheaper, actually. And I've just helped someone do that in Seaforth only last week. We've just helped them move. And they bought a place 3 years ago. The renovation cost, it's actually the same cost to move to a home finished as it would be to do the renovations to the current one.
Yeah. And look, if you can do some of this stuff yourself, that's all well and good, but you don't do electrical, you don't do plumbing, that sort of thing, do you, unless you really know what you're doing?
Yeah, if you can, well, personally, you'd never touch that. I mean, you're just not licensed to start with. They're the two trades, electrical and plumbing, that you just wouldn't touch. And no other trades people will touch that either. I mean, your tilers can do a bit of roof tiling, or they could do a bit of, you know, you could do your walls and you could, you know, put some gyprock up. Those things are learnable skills. You could also learn to be an electrician or a plumber, but those things do require a much higher level of skill. So I wouldn't touch those.
No, I always upset the professional painters when I say this, but one thing I will do is paint, and over the years I've become very good at it because I started painting my mum's place when I was a teenager, and you can get pretty good at that.
You can, but again, it's a skill. I mean, I got good at it too when I was a carpenter.
Yeah.
I started out, I mean, we used to work on small cottage work, the houses and renovations and anything, you know, under, you know, a dozen walls, we would just paint it. But certainly I never claimed to be as good a finish as a proper qualified
No, me either.
You can tell the difference. If I look in a property, I can tell if it's been a home renovation or a professional's done it.
Yeah.
If you've got a trained eye, you'll see the difference.
Yeah, you will. And what about joints to avoid? Now, we all get a building certificate and a termite inspection, all of that sort of stuff, but if you see something that structurally is a bit imperfect, are they the ones you run a million miles from?
Generally, yeah. I mean, my focus that I've learnt, and I've gone through doing all sorts of renovations, small, medium, large things for clients and myself over the years, and I've just learnt where the margin is to stay away from the things that you can't see value in.
Yeah.
So if you've got to, do major structural work, like you've got to take a roof line out to put a deck on or to expand to do a garage and things like that, you'll blow several thousand dollars in architect's fees, which are obviously you need to do, but you'll also spend several thousand dollars on council fees and things like that. Now, you don't get those dollars back. People don't see that value. It's a bit like if you've got a broken pipe in the backyard, okay, and you've got to dig up and it's going to cost 20 grand to put some new sewer lines in and new stormwater pipes.
Mm.
When you sell the property, no one wants to pay you for that. You can tell them you've put new pipe work in, and they go, that's great.
Yeah, good on you.
The property needs to have pipe work
anyway,
so they don't want to pay for it. But what you want to do is the things that you can visually see that add value, which is a good old kitchen bathroom. I mean, that's not new information to most people.
Yeah.
And that is where you will get the biggest bang for your buck, and that is the case. But there are a lot of other little things, and I've got over 50 different tips in the book.
Mm.
There are other little things, not just the kitchen and the bathroom, that will add value more than the cost of doing the work. And that's what you've got to look for. Either what can I do that's going to cost me X dollars, that I'm going to get more than that back in value when I go to sell the property, or for rent.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Don't just think about it. I'm not just talking about doing properties up to rent. A lot of the properties I buy for people, we buy them with the intention of renovating them, refinancing them, dragging the equity out to buy another property, and increasing the rent return to a level that covers all the costs of those renovations.
Yeah, exactly. Work. And the thing is, these are real case studies in the book.
I just picked a sample of different apartments. I picked a couple of apartments, a couple of houses, a couple of terraces, just a sample of what we've been doing over the last 10 years, and just picked a few samples of each type to give people an understanding of what the actual numbers are. And I've put in the real actual numbers, what we did, holding costs, things like that. Because, one of the things obviously that inspired me to finish the book this year was the shows with the block and the renovation.
Oh, sure, sort of course.
Thing. It inspired me and said, look, I've got to get this done, because it's been on the drawing board, but when you have a couple of young kids, take your mind off it.
Things go off the drawing board very quickly. Mate, just quickly, is it still possible to, buy an old terrace, which people used to do, for not much money, renovate it and make a profit?
Yes, you can do it, but you've got to do it again appropriately and to the right sort of pace.
Yeah, right.
And that's the thing. So, building up a property from, scratch, like as I was going to allude to with the shows like the renovators and the block, they did everything, okay? And every one of those properties lost money, every one of them.
Yeah.
And they didn't even account for their labour costs, which is roughly about 40% these days of a renovation.
Yeah, I know.
Things
it's
have changed.
A lot of money.
20 years ago, labour costs was about 20%. It's crept up and it's now sitting around the 40% mark. So those shows lost money without including labour and without taking into account free swimming pools, $10,000 just for getting a room looking flash this week over anyone
that's
else.
Right.
When you add all that up, they lost a significant amount of money, so it's not easy to renovate. If you want to follow that formula, you'll lose money very quickly.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about doing is actually working out the end value and working backwards.
Yep.
And that's what's critical. You've got to work out what will the end value of this property be worth when I'm finished, and then go, well, what's it going to cost me to get it there? And then you work out your maximum purchase price.
Right, that's it. Well, the book's called The Insider's Guide to Renovating for Profit. Really good little book from Patrick Bright. And you can also find Patrick on the net at all the W's, patrickbright.com. Thanks for the chat, mate. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Tim. Nice to speak with you.
Yeah, you too. Patrick Bright, 1:24.